at this point through where we were last year. We've had a lot going on. We talk about it at each meeting, but primarily Hinkley Dam, Primate Forest. We've done a lot of work at golf, including work at Shawnee, Seneca, and Manikiki. So we did a lot of work last year. We're doing even more work this year. David, it's not advancing, I don't think. There you go. Thank you. Zoo total revenue highlighted in the yellow, up 9.6%. Expenses are only up right there in the blue, 7.4%. Zoo's just doing a really, really good job. There are a number of projects going on, which you can see down here, but not as much as last year. Last year at this point, we had 4.5 million. Primarily, we had Susie's Bear Hollow going on. But this year, we have other projects going on, not of that size. And then you can see we've bought a lot of capital items down here, a garbage truck. We have the Swan boats for Swan Voyage. And we've got some club cars and things that are there that we didn't have last year. So not as much construction as last year, more capital items. Bottom line, in the zoo, 7 months in, they're having a really, really good year. Golf. Rounds played year to date are up 20.6%. It's interesting because when I dug into that, the rounds played at what I would call the larger courses are up 7%, but the rounds played at the smaller courses, those that are only nine holes, are up 20.1%. Little Mets rounds played was up 22% year to date this year. So Little Met is just doing really, really well. Manikiki and Seneca are both up, but just modestly, about 2%. And that's because both were down for part of this season. But even given all the work that we're doing out there, golf rounds played being up 20% is driving that total revenue increase of 1.4 million. And you can see, so that's 19.4%. Expenses are up about 20.5%. So they're kind of running parallel, but the net at the end of the day is they're over $400,000 ahead of where they were last year at this point, dropping on an operating side almost $3 million to the bottom line through 3 months. Again, we wanted to point out a couple of the capital projects that are going on. You've heard about them, but it's the cart paths at Seneca and Shawnee, the Manikiki cart barn, the irrigation system, and the management center. And then when we look at this capital equipment, we bought a number of electric carts as we change out our fleet. And so that's represented right there. Those are the electric golf carts. Nothing really to report on the individual golf courses. I just wanted you to see how everyone was doing. But I do want to point out, we had mentioned Little Met. You can see Little Met last year was net 194K at this point. Now they're net 246 for a small nine-hole golf course, doing extremely well. And we had mentioned Seneca. It's a little bit behind where it was, and that's because it was down part of the time. When we get to Enterprise, you can see that revenue right now, year to date, is up 14.4%, and net revenue year to date is up 12.6% right there. I'm sorry, concessions is what I meant to say, is up 14.4%, and we'll get into a little bit more detail there. Again, up about $500,000, net to the bottom line is about $200,000. But when you break it out in percentages, given the numbers, that's a 34.5% increase over where they were last year on the enterprise operations from the 577 to the 766. And I used to often point out that it was Merwin's that was really driving and doing well. This month, I was really surprised when I pulled up the beach house. Last year was netting 118,000 roughly till this point, 172. And then the East 55th, just under 100 last year, now it's 148. So about a 50% increase. So the beach house and the restaurant are just doing extremely well. Merwin's is still doing well. It's ahead of where it was. But it seems like even when you look at the marina, everyone is doing well. So the enterprise operation, we're very, very happy with. And we've mentioned this time and again, Wildwood often, that's just because we're not doing anything there. The barge is parked there. And I did want to point out Huntington because of the big investment that was made in the playground. Look at how it manifests itself in $120,000 year-to-date increase in net revenues. Park that did 266 is now doing 474. Just it's always full. There are people there. They're enjoying the space. Kids are playing. Couldn't be better what that has done, putting the playground there. And then last, we'll go to the nature shops. And knowing that we have a CPA on the board, I thought someone might wonder, hey, why do we have a negative here in this capital equipment line? And that's nothing more than an adjusting entry. The Swan boats were originally charged there because that's where they were going to be used. They've since been moved to the zoo. Swan Voyage is part of the zoo operating results. And so we had to move the cost of those to the zoo. And that's where the revenue resides. So that's just an adjusting entry showing that they've had no capital outlay now in the nature shops. They are running a little bit behind where they were last year. Part of it's just a little slowdown in this month. We're hopeful that that'll continue to pick up, but the nature shops are doing really well. And that's all I have, commissioners. We're at 7 months in. I would say we're in a pretty good spot. Nothing that I need to bring to your attention that you should be concerned about.
New business.
Good morning, everyone. I think just, you know, to follow up nature shops and kind of, you know, enterprise and retail, they, you know, without Hinkley Lake this year, you know, that kind of changes the dynamic of things as well, just it being dredged. And so the boathouse is closed. So I just want to highlight, you know, they are working very hard. They've done an amazing job this entire year with the mobile truck and a bunch of other things with the work that they're trying to do. So I just want to highlight their work. It's just, it's going to be a different couple of years because of the lake being closed. The very first action item we have this morning is 2024 budget adjustment number 8. Wade.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, on page 9, you'll see budget adjustment number 8, total $703,334. A couple items to point out for the adjustment. $354,245 of the adjustment is for Garfield Pond. That's covered by existing restricted fund, foundation grants, and donations. There is a $250,000 adjustment for the barge at 225. That's funded by restricted fund donations. And there's a $55,000 adjustment for the veterinary equipment, and that's a new CZS grant. So most of the adjustment is covered by restricted funds and grants and donations. I would ask approval of a budget adjustment number 8.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next is the award of RFP 6840 depositories for Cleveland Metro Parks. Wade.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, on the top of page 10, you'll see the award of RFP 6840 for depositories. On April 24th, we let out a request for proposal for new depository services. We had 5 respondents, 4 that we interviewed. They are detailed on page 11, their scoring. The criteria that was included in the RFP is at the bottom of page 10, goes to page 11. After a thorough evaluation by the finance, as well as the legal staff and procurement, we are bringing to you a recommendation to let the contract to PNC Bank for the next 6 years.
I have a question.
Yes.
What does demonstrated commitment mean?
On the bottom one, we want to know that the bank that we're looking at has the same values we do. Are they interested in the same types of things? Are they supportive of Northeast Ohio and the Cleveland market? And so we evaluated each one and asked them about that. What is your commitment to Northeast Ohio? What is your commitment to Cleveland? And what is your commitment to the Metro Parks? And do you hold those same values, whether they be sustainability, whether they be valuing diversity, things of that nature? We thought it was important that who we partner with has the same values we do.
Because that was a big score issue.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Move to approve.
Wait, who is our current depository?
Our current depository is Huntington Bank.
Okay. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next is authorization of land acquisition. This is with the Diocese of Cleveland Facility Services Corporation. This is a 1.9 acre parcel of land in West Creek. As David brings up the picture, you will see this is one of the most probably strategic pieces of real estate acquisition that we've done to be able to have a much better access into the old Parmadale site. We were essentially landlocked in all other areas with no real way to get into that portion of the park. This is something that's been on the radar probably for 14 years, or at least since as long as I've been here. Wow. That we've tried to work with the diocese through a number of different ways. We may look at a very strategic redesign of the road West 29th Street that comes in. We may look at a realignment to come into the park. There are a number of different ways, just from sight lines and others, to be able to increase. We're looking at adding a parking lot up on top and more of a open kind of hilltop park type theme. But this was the work of Rose and the legal team, just being very diligent and continuing to follow up often. And we were able to finally negotiate out a price. And this does allow us access. This reservation just continues to grow over time. And so kudos go to Stephanie and Kyle and the entire legal team that did all the work. So we're very proud to be able to bring this 1.9 acre parcel of land forward. Recommended action falls in the bottom portion of page 12. If there are no questions.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
A continuation of land acquisition in West Creek Conservancy. This is known as the Olson property. This is a 0.65 acre parcel of land. This is, again, part of a long-standing commitment to the city of Parma and our partnership with West Creek Conservancy. We look to ask for your approval of this area here. We would also be partnering with a number of with the sewer district and others. This is part of a long-standing commitment to be able to move our way all the way up forward. That is, if you keep scroll down, there's a school up on top right there. So we're looking at how do we continue to connect that entire corridor all the way down. And so we've looked through and for to partner with West Creek on the Olson property to be able to bring this purchase agreement forward. So it only leaves one property in the middle. Recommended action actually bifurcates 13 and 14.
Move to approve.
Second.
Oh, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next is amendment number 6, guaranteed maximum price number 5. This is contract 1543, construction manager at risk, Gorilla Primate Forest. This is going to continue on for a long a number of years, but we have really worked forward towards this is GMP number 5. This is a tremendous amount of work relative to the current rainforest, the rerouting utilities, all of the wonderful things that we'll be doing as we're moving forward to bring on the Gorilla project. The amount is in $19,679,818 with Higley, and we are ready to have our groundbreaking here within the next 30 days. Recommended action falls in the bottom portion of page 16.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is amendment number 5, contract 1696, sole source, single source 1622. This is for the permanent mooring structure. This is with NETSCO, Northeast Technical Services. We have looked at a number of different ways. Lake Erie is a very interesting body of water. The things continue, water continues to move in very different ways. I'm very happy that we did not push for the permanent until we really understood how the boat needed to be moored. The team is actually looking at potentially sinking it down and actually mooring it on the bottom and potentially an orientation change to make sure that we have a long-term success there. So we did not rush into exactly where and how, but we will be able to bring forward this final phase and then be able to look at hooking up utilities and other things and working forward towards bringing what we believe to be the first nature type activity with all the work that Mary Rouse is doing and the with the food bank and the programming. We needed a space, and so this is an excellent opportunity, but it has created some very unique challenges. Recommended action falls in the bottom portion of page 17 to enter into the contract with NETSCO.
Brian, it's still floating, though, right?
It is still, yes, it is still floating. We're very happy about that. But I think we're looking at, and if Sean wants to add just a little bit of the technical side, we're trying to find the best way that this has the long-term success based on what the lake can or cannot do.
Okay, so they're going up and down the lake.
It's moving, yep.
Yeah, I got it. Thanks.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next is the second amendment to professional services agreement Cleveland Metro Parks do with Dr. Robert Marquez. This is with the Andean Bear Conservation, a long-standing program with Cleveland Metro Parks. Literally, this is a professional services agreement from effective August 2024 through 2028, not to exceed 1,000 hours per year for a cost of $140,000. This is funded through a wide variety of different ways, the Zoological Society. We will be able to continue the wonderful work on the Andean bear conservation work. Recommended action falls in the bottom portion of page 18 to enter into the amendment with Dr. Robert Marquez.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
This does not happen very often, but there are no award of bids. So we will move into vouchers and payroll.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, on page 24, you'll see Resolution 24-08-100 in the amount of $14,020,255.34. All of the vouchers have been reviewed as to their legality, and they conform with the Ohio Revised Code, and I would ask your approval of that resolution.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I think we're now on.
Public comment.
Public comment, yeah. Any public comments? Yes. Wait, okay.
Good morning.
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 Quote, "A variety of activities, swimming, basketball, volleyball, et cetera, although beneficial to one's health, do not furnish which nature bestows peacefulness, joyfulness, and wonderment. Get thee to the woods." Mark Hoverson. "The park's natural areas are available for many kinds of experiences. Some of the active sports with their own venues tend to intrude into them, degrading the visits of others. Given the high percentage of money and land devoted to golf, we shouldn't have to dodge golf balls at Lewis Road or other fields, nor have to constantly meet bicycles on the bridle paths. After all, bikes have the roads, the APTs, pump tracks, and mountain bike trails to choose from. Walkers, hikers, runners, bird watchers, riders all get along and are nearly universal in their desire to not encounter bicycles. Earbuds in, eyes focused on front tires, they are a menace and oblivious until the last moment. Please, let's get the message out and enforce the regs. Golf only at golf facilities, bikes on designated trails or the parkway. Not merely disruptive, either can be hazardous to others if in the wrong place. Granted that land has its own budget item, it still seems that the cost of land, whether for a downtown parking lot or for a new golf course complete with equipment, should somehow be taken into account when these areas are being lauded as generating revenue. Like claiming profits from Emerald Necklace Marina boat storage without admitting the $500,000 lift involved. Or that the remodeled Emerald Necklace restaurant is more profitable now than it was when an outside operator handed over a check to the park. Sometimes private enterprise is a better bet. Another puzzling financial item, Hawthorne Valley Country Club, which Metro Parks finally gave in and bought from Fred Rzepka after years of pressure. The sale awarded him a substantial check while greatly increasing the value of his development on the residual land. So how is it that naming rights, something expected to generate income, instead seem to have been given free of charge to the Rzepkas? Not a good look, especially given Fred's long involvement with the park. Developers downtown or in the burbs do not need to be gifted with our money. The lakefront bike trail is something which benefits the community. Let the millionaires and billionaires look out for themselves, which I can assure you they will continue to do. Thank you.
Just as a note of correction, her assertion that private business, I can tell you the reason that Metro Parks runs these locations right now is because we were the bank for these private institutions. I had Coca-Cola, Cisco, a wide variety of different purveyors that were providing services, goods and services, where these entities were not paying for them. And when somebody had a problem with prime rib, I was getting the phone call. So we changed that whole entire model and are more profitable. So to say private is worth, that was not necessarily the case here at Cleveland Metro Parks. I can assure you of that.
Marty, I'd like to comment on the issue of bicycles versus horses. I think there, and Brian, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think there may be 50 miles of designated bike paths, and maybe I'm exaggerating. Bedford.
And, you're a little high.
Yes. Yeah. So maybe it's 30 or 35, and there's over 100 miles of horse trails. But let me finish here. The horse pop, the population of our constituents that have horses is maybe a half of 1%, and that's probably a wild exaggeration. Whereas there are about half the people have bicycles. So I think we're underserving the bike community with respect to bike trails. And the issue of can they both, can horses and bikes be on the same trail? And my argument would be that out west, there's nothing, it's always that way out west. And does it require a learning period? Perhaps it does. But I think it's been proven all over the nation that horses and bikes can coexist.
On there is welcome. We all get along. We do very well. Bicycles seem to do it. And I'm tired of it. I just say that it's many things, those bridle trails can seek them out.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but I think if this is viewed by the public in general, you've got a huge number of bike people that are going all, that are going far away to get a new bicycle trail. So I think two things, we should do two things. One is I think we should open some of these trails that don't see very much horse traffic. And there are some, I mean, I think we could have a census and determine what the actual facts are. I mean, there's some that hardly have any horses at all, and some that are quite popular.
Marty, how many miles did you ride horseback riding this year?
Speaking as someone who uses bridle trails now, and still comes by.
Now, the
like to be a quiet, natural trip without having something.
But now the regular trails, many of them don't allow bicycles. So, I mean, the bicycles are really restricted to trails just for bicycles. Yeah, I understand.
Commissioner, I'd also just like to correct the record regarding the Rezepka transaction. There was $1 million attributed to the naming rights. So just so that the record is accurate. And that was an arm's length transaction. There was no undue influence. You are three independent commissioners who made a decision to enter into that very strategic acquisition that the community will benefit from. Thank you.
But Marty, we agree that we love public comments, but I think we have the right to comment on your comments. Next comment.
I'm a supporter in terms of the fact that I've almost been pulled over by someone with earbuds on. So I was a board member of West Creek, and Marty knows I am not a fan of mountain bikes and how that aggressive behavior is exercised in the parks. So, but I came on a good note. I'm retired. I've been a volunteer almost 10 years at Metro Health, and I want to say, I really am grateful, the neighborhood's grateful for the Simply Wells series at the Metro Park Zoo. I don't know if you're aware of it, but we have doctors who come and people can ask them questions on, you know, issues like foot problems, that was popular, ear problems, eye problems, all the things, a lot of it mostly for the aging population. So kudos there, and please, from the Metro Parks angle, market it more. I mean, parks are medicine. I mean, so I'm grateful. I'm also grateful that you have a better board than Metro Health. There's a mobility plan happening at the city of Cleveland. You're probably aware of it. O'Toole is the design firm, and I'm disappointed because, again, transit is not being part of the discussion. This is an opportunity for the Cleveland Metro Parks. I pretty much, if I was overjoyed by the last board meeting that I listened to hear that you're coordinating with RTA with the Garfield Reservation and the Morgana Run Trail, which is going to really create a huge loop. And people want loops. That's, I don't know if you, American Trails or follow some of that, but trails are, loop trails are destinations. So I'm really hopeful that the Turney, Warner, Broadway intersection can be humanized. It's very dehumanizing. I'm sure you're also aware that the Trust for Public Land just received a $3 million grant to support the Parks Coalition that the city of Cleveland is going to engage more residents in the city of Cleveland park management, long overdue. Trust for Public Land and SIAT, see you at the top, Ebony Hood, she was also affiliated with West Creek. They had a presentation with the ACE mentorship program as their interns looked at the Carouche Park, which I really do think has Metro Park written all over it. It already has an all-purpose trail. So there's an EPA challenge grant that's the funding that they received for that. And the city of Chattanooga received a $19.5 million EPA challenge grant to finish a trail that's a critical mobility piece. And I don't know if there are any applications in the pipeline. Tomorrow's the deadline for technical assistance, and then November 21st is the deadline. There's still money left in that federal. It's the first time that this grant has been available. And I know that on the east side, as part of the whole east side trail connectors, the Thrive 105 route, it was just sort of left orphaned. It was an initiative that Valerie McCall, I guess, from what Debbie Berry told me, pushed, and the city did get a build grant for it, but then it just dropped off and nobody cares about it. But the number 10 bus connects Garfield Reservation to Euclid Beach and vice versa. So it's really a cool route, and it has like 21 different abilities to cross other high traffic routes. So that is something I would hope maybe you could throw in an application for support RTA. I from my understanding from someone I talked to inside, they are not even applying. This is like easy money. Go for it. And finally, I just wanted to say before all about in the interest of mobility, this route I've asked before, and as we go into winter, can someone shovel at least one side of the bridge so that you have a loop trail for Brookside? And that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian, is RTA come to us and asked us for help funding, you know, tapping some of those funds?
I don't know that actually happened, but we do try to partner with them on, you know, many different things. That the Red Line Greenway is a great example of the partnership. Their numbers, you know, we're sometimes, we have RTA paratransit locations in a number of areas, but we don't have a dedicated stop at the zoo, which to me makes absolutely no sense. 1.3 million visitors, and there's no dedicated zoo stop. You get dumped off a long ways away. I've let people in through the zoo that have gotten dropped off. It's hard to understand some of the way they route some of their buses around some of the institutions and attractions. So we continue to try to work with and partner. I can't say what happened to the funding for the city of Cleveland. Most of these things are the city of Cleveland. The bridge, as Laura mentioned, is the city of Cleveland. And so, you know, we try to work with them, and there are times that we, you know, do shovel it through, but they tend to plow it over as fast as we could potentially clear it off.
Yeah.
So.
Very good. I think we're moving to information stage.
We are proud to bring forward for the 14th consecutive year, the 2024 National Procurement Institute Achievement of Excellence. Wade.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Commissioners. I did want to highlight this because sometimes finance staff, and we have your procurement team, and I say yours because they're the Metro Parks, and Charlie, Annabelle, and Michelle, you guys want to stand up so the commissioners can see you?
Give them a round of applause.
I think it's important to note that you have a procurement team of three people for almost a $200 million organization, and only 25 special districts nationwide have been given this award, which means they're the best of the best. They're the best in class, and they're one of only three agencies in Ohio. So we talk about our winning of a budget award, our winning of the Certificate of Achievement for Financial Reporting, and for procurement. So I just want the commissioners to know that you have a very good finance team. You get to see me each month, but the people that do the real hard work are the people standing, the rest of the people in finance that keep everything happening so that you can rest assured that the money is accounted for, the purchases are done properly, and the information you get is accurate.
Yeah, one of the things they're working on is the self-serve. I mean, they constantly are trying to stay cutting edge so that it is a true testament to them continuing to be innovative and creative for the Park District, and we very much appreciate their work. So let's give them another round of applause. Thank you. The next is the invasive plant management contract in support of SOM Wetland Enhancement Project, SOM. We have with us this morning Jennifer Cricket Hilmer.
Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate the opportunity to present an update on the North Chagrin Reservation Wetland Enhancement Project now underway. You may recall a board highlight about this in June of 2023 from our wetland ecologist, John Rainier, who is managing this multi-year wetland restoration. A very brief overview of this project is in order. Cleveland Metro Parks entered an agreement with the city of Willoughby Hills to enhance wetlands within the municipality. Willoughby Hills provided funding at $550,000 following a civil action for violations of the Clean Water Act. Cleveland Metro Parks had an ambitious project waiting in the wings. You're going to see this shape a few times. This is an extremely simplified map of the SOM Center project site. There's so much to see there, I have to cut it down to nothing. Today, I'm going to highlight the management of invasive plants for this wetland enhancement project. We requested proposals for contract invasive plant management on about 300 acres of the site, beginning this fall through 2027. And we have reserved about 30 acres for in-house work focused on areas of high conservation priority or high public visitation. Natural Resources Invasive Plant Management Program works across the entire park district. We function like our building trades division in that we apply our skills to smaller ongoing projects around the parks, but we may contract out some large restoration projects. John Rainier saw the potential for significant enhancement and restoration of a forested wetland mosaic on the west side of North Chagrin Reservation. From Buttermilk Falls Parkway and points west, extending from Strawberry Lane as it then existed, to the southern border behind St. Bartholomew's Church. Which is...
That is an old photograph.
Yes, that's a 1951 photograph. John documented pockets of high quality wetlands and remnant populations of wetland plants in what had been mostly open farmland and pasture in the mid 20th century. Like most farmland in this part of Ohio, however, many of the old fields and pastures grew into low diversity red maple forests. After Cleveland Metro Parks acquired the properties, old farm buildings were removed. The North Chagrin Nature Center was built next to two man-made ponds, and an extensive management and ranger complex was built. Through all this, some of the wetland plants persisted. The now forested land shows where drainage ditches, subsurface drain tiles, and old agricultural furrows continue to move water off what was most likely a mixture of swamp and upland forests, shrub swamps, wet meadows, and vernal pools. Vernal pool breeding amphibians like wood frogs and spotted salamanders are documented from the project site. These secretive creatures need seasonal wetlands for late winter breeding and spring larval development, in addition to ample forest habitats around the pools. The total size of the project area is over 350 acres, which gives Natural Resources staff plenty of room to work. There will be some selective tree harvesting to improve the diversity of the tree and shrub layers. We will find and break old drain tiles, fill old ditches, build check dams across old furrows, and regrade areas to create shallow vernal pools. Invasive plant management is an integral component of habitat enhancement or restoration projects at every stage of the endeavor. One might think of it as cleaning up before, during, and after a major home renovation. Before undertaking a major project, one needs to clear the home site of hazards. When new gaps are opened in the forest canopy, aggressive plants have a chance to establish on the forest floor. And significantly altering how long and where water stays on the site creates more open ground and sunny spots. We want to reduce the extent and severity of invasive plants that are early colonizers of newly disturbed ground. During renovations, when power equipment is moving around, one needs to keep the work sites and staging areas tidy and safe. As drainage is disrupted or vernal pools are dug, soil gets moved around. Seeds or root fragments of plants easily hitchhike to new locations. This project won't bring in any topsoil or fill, but weeds are sneaky. The phrase nip it in the bud is both literal and imperative. After renovation, one wants to keep the newly renovated home in good order to ensure that any problems are promptly addressed. It's vital to monitor recently disturbed sites, access points, and established invasive plant populations. It helps to remember that it took years of inattention for the invasive plants to dominate an area. It takes multiple seasons and multiple years to reduce or eradicate invasive plants. Our proposed contract term for intensive vegetation management is 3 years. However, I would expect to see the short-term results for reestablishment of native trees and shrubs in about 10 years. Now, here's where the human home renovation analogy breaks down. A house does not repair itself. Nature does. The goal of invasive plant management in this area is to work with the natural resilience of the ecosystem to support regrowth and reestablishment of native plant and animal communities. Our first objective is to decrease the pressure from invasive plants within the project site. There are 20 species of invasive trees, shrubs, vines, herbs, and grasses that are the primary targets for control at this site. An additional 12 species are present, but considered secondary targets at this time. Of all those species, we have the best sense of the extent for purple loosestrife, yellow flag iris, and glossy buckthorn. In this map, I have divided the project area into the northern half, north of Sunset Lane on the left side, and south of Sunset Lane on the right side of the slide. What we know of glossy buckthorn, and this is from 2011, is in pink. Our purple loosestrife at our wetlands and wet meadows is in that beautiful bright blue-green, and yellow flag iris mostly at Sunset Pond and Sanctuary Marsh. Our second objective is to increase native plant species recovery from the seed bank, or where appropriate, through the collection and dispersal of native plant stock from within the site. This is a picture of John Rainier showing our two wetland seasonals, some sedge seeds, and these are our two seasonals who have been hired exclusively for this project. The habitats requiring the most management are the edges of the forests and meadows where glossy buckthorn, common privet, multiflora rose, and shrub honeysuckles predominate. Some of the common invaders here that we are going to see a lot of are glossy buckthorn on the left and multiflora rose on the right. After management, however, they may well be replaced by gray dogwood and wild climbing rose, which are both native. In our marshes and our wet meadows, these are places where purple loosestrife and yellow flag iris can be aggressive invaders. We would really prefer that habitat to support swamp milkweed and blue flag iris. The forests have their share of invasive species, including Japanese barberry and Japanese stilt grass. After management and restoration, we expect, and when the canopy is open more for the wetlands, we expect to find more high bush blueberry and white grass. It's kind of fun because they look very similar, and yet they function so differently. Invasive plant management removes one major obstacle to healthy ecosystems. At the SOM wetland enhancement site, the elements of resilient communities are still present. When we let water stay on site and allow native species to reestablish, we can expect positive changes from the soil to the treetops. The more robust the ecosystem, the better it withstands extreme weather and other shocks to the system. Our restoration actions set the stage for nature to take over. Then we can move on to other projects. We know this area has potential. A few of my favorite native species are already on the site, including Cooper's hawk, the shrub winterberry holly, and a fabulous plant called Mad Dog Skullcap. So in wrapping this up, we're excited to finally tackle this extensive wetland enhancement. The work of the next 2 to 3 years is going to reset the direction and the recovery of long abandoned farmland. Natural resources staff, volunteers, and our selected contractors will nudge the natural growth here towards flourishing and diverse habitats for hundreds of species. Tomorrow afternoon, purchasing will open the bids for the IPM project, and I will see you next month with an action item. May we all have the pleasure of watching the west side of North Chagrin Reservation change and grow in the future. Thank you for your attention.
Any questions? Very good.
Because that was just fascinating, honestly. I'm just fascinated by this. So you just gave an example of one area of the park system that you're working on. Like how pervasive is your work that you're doing across the system?
The invasive, I could talk all day.
I'm just like curious, like that was one example. I mean, so.
The invasive plant management program oversees all of the undeveloped acres of the park. Mm-hmm. I never really added up what that is. I think it's probably around 18,000, 18,500, something like that. Mm-hmm. We prioritize according to what we know of the conditions and the conservation priorities of these different landscapes. And then it's our staff, it's our area managers, it's our volunteers. So we deploy across the entire park district.
And you have a list, you have a priority of what areas you're going into next.
Oh, for the record, I describe it like a giant game of Clue. Remember Colonel Mustard in the library with a candlestick? So our job is which invasive species at what sites, at what time of year, mm-hmm. will be treated by what method, by whom. And then we just spread that over those 18,000 acres.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
This was...
What's the plan for Phragmites?
That depends where the Phragmites is.
A good attorney answer.
Second career. Thank you.
That is the last info item. We do have no old business. The next regularly scheduled meeting is September 19th. We do have an executive session.
Is there a motion for executive session to go into executive session for the purpose of acquisition of real property?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
This is the roll call vote. Yeah.
Yes.
Dan Moore.
Yes.
Yvette Itu.
Yes.
Bruce Winker.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Here we go.
Move to adjourn.
All in favor?